As I continue a series of subjects here the afternoon of biblical answers for everyday problems, I'm taking up the subject of anger this afternoon. I would like to begin by asking you to define anger for me. How would you define anger?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Nice Gundy reference there. The football coach that was defending his player got angry. And so, define anger.
Emotional response, usually.
Kind of fiery response. Forceful.
Not usually a good response.
Expressing displeasure loudly.
Strong emotion, a feeling that is oriented towards some real or supposed grievance.
Thank you, Google.
No, this is a dictionary app.
Oh, very good. It is a little hard to define, isn't it? We can all give examples of it and even describe what it feels when it happens to us. Defining it is maybe a little harder. And it's a little harder because, as Mary described, it's usually not good to use a word usually. Why did you use usually there?
Sometimes you might meet, like, Jesus has been angry, like he was angry at the people who
were right.
Stuff in the temple.
Yeah. Jesus got angry, and the Bible says that God gets angry. So it is a complicated subject. In fact, it's complicated as we look at man's nature and how God made us. That if we turn back into Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we find that God made us in his own image. And so there is a sense in which the emotion of anger is something that has a natural root to it, in that we are like God. Being made in his image means that we share characteristics and even some of the emotions that God is said to have. Now, we are not God. And God's anger is a perfect and a sinless anger, which we don't have. And so anger could also be said to be natural in the fact that we are fallen creatures as well. And sinful anger comes very naturally to us as well. So the booklet that I'm opening up today and teaching through is by David Powlison, and it's titled Anger, Escaping the Maze. Escaping the Maze. And you know what a maze is, right? Joseph, you know what a maze is?
Lots of dead ends.
Have you ever built one in Minecraft? That would be fun. I'll have to see one of those sometime. Yeah, so you can feel lost in the middle of a maze trying to get through, and you reach this dead end over here, you reach this dead end over here. And I think Powlison chooses that imagery because it expresses the experience that we have in the midst of anger, and it expresses some of the answers that come from a worldly idea of man's nature and our being that are false, that leads to false ideas of what anger is and how we are to approach it. So, what Powlison does is that he lists several different, what he calls, lies about anger and discusses them from a biblical perspective. What is it that the lie is saying about the human constitution, and how do we respond biblically to that? So, lie number one is this. Anger is something inside of me. Anger is something inside of me. You might hear people describe it in this way. Their anger is pent up, or their anger has been primed like a pump, or they get boiling mad, they're filled with rage, they're just waiting to explode, they're blowing off steam, they need to get it off their chest. Those are all fairly common expressions about anger that treat anger as if it were a living thing inside of me, like a caged animal that is just waiting to get loose. Well, those descriptions have a place, because they certainly describe some of the feelings that we go through in the midst of our anger. But it really is a worldly answer that treats anger like a thing or a force that ultimately isn't good or bad. And it leads to solutions that suggest that releasing it in some controlled way is the appropriate response to anger. So instead of holding it back and blowing up at some point, the world would suggest, well, you need to learn to vent your anger. Have you heard that term before? So the idea is, rather than letting it get to the boiling point where you can't control it anymore and you become a monster, instead get angry in smaller ways and more frequently, I guess, and vent it so that the pressure doesn't become too much. Well, let me just respond to that briefly by first of all saying that the Bible never treats anger as a thing. It doesn't treat it as an uncontrollable force that has an identity or a being in and of itself. It also very clearly treats selfish expressions of anger as unhealthy and harmful rather than as being somehow helpful. You might feel better after you have vented your anger, but that doesn't make what you've done right just because you feel better. And in a moment we'll look at some of the scriptures that describe this, and I'll cite just one. If you look at James chapter 1, the context of talking about God being the source of all good things, and that as we look to Him for wisdom for living, he says this in verses 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I'm especially interested in that phrase, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I want you to notice there that wrath or anger is not presented as somehow separate from mankind. It identifies very clearly where anger comes from. It doesn't come from above. God is not the author of your sin or of your temptation. Neither does it come from Satan. It comes from you. It's the wrath of man. You're responsible for how you respond to each and every situation. And in this case, it is condemned and shown to be a sinful response because it does not produce the righteousness of God. So the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So when you treat anger as something that's inside of you that just needs to be managed, you are giving sin far too much allowance, and even that saying it to giving it to a license at all is incorrect. do indeed treat it as a sin that needs to be repented from, rather than something that is neutral or somehow healthy. A second lie that we'll treat is that it's okay to be angry at God. It's okay to be angry at God. As I read through Pallison's little booklet, he cites psychological studies that cite this, or that teach this, that not only is anger this neutral thing inside of you that you just need to manage and learn to live with, but it is in fact okay to be angry with God. And popular humanistic psychology would go down this route and go down really a wrong route because of their conception again of God and of mankind. So let me have a volunteer to look up Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3. Rachel, Proverbs 19, 3.
Proverbs 19, 3. The foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord.
This describes anger at God as foolishness. And when the Bible uses the term fool, it's not thinking about Danny Kaye as a court jester who we can laugh at. In this case, the fool is the one who has set himself up in opposition to God, and it's not a good term to be called a fool. And it's described as foolishness because in the end it dethrones God. It questions God. It questions his goodness. It questions his purposes. And in the end it sets up your own desires and your own plans as God. When those plans are violated, then you rage. You lose control of your emotions and it comes out in anger. Well, let's think about that biblically as well, and by asking the question, does God ever really let you down? Does God ever really let you down? I see you kind of furrowing your brow and scratching your head.
Nope.
It's a trick question.
Okay.
Because he will put you down at times so
okay.
that you can get up. But, and so in one sense of the word, yes. In the other sense of the word, no, because he will never abandon you.
Mm-hmm. In an eternal sense, no.
Yeah.
If our desires are set in something simple, then yes, in one sense we might be let down, but it's probably something mm-hmm. we shouldn't have been hoping for to begin with.
I mean, that's always, that should always be defined in the context of what our desires are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, so in Psalm 37, he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, that's only if you're really delighting yourself in the Lord and seeking his law and his word mm-hmm. and his truth and yeah. not your own selfish desires.
Yeah. You could put it this way. God doesn't actually let you down. You chose to be down, and God let you see it.
Hmm.
You just passed the blame to the wrong person.
Yeah. Pallison says, comments that it's hard to see sometimes, just because, going back to a sermon on suffering, it's not an easy place to be, and the Bible doesn't say it's easy. In fact, Pallison says this, he says, God has never promised freedom from tears, mourning, crying, and pain, or the evils that cause them, until the great day when life and joy triumph forever over death and misery. There will be a day when we are free from those things, and when Christ will wipe away every tear and every sin. But in this life, we will know the valleys of despair. We will go through the pains of suffering, and we will have tears. And as we do that, we do need to remember that God ultimately never does let us down, and that His paths are always good. By the way, I appreciated this. Paulson observes that anger at God actually admits that God is sovereign. So think about it this way. Why are you angry? Well, it's because God didn't do as you expected He would do, which admits that God can do something about it. So you're admitting that God can do something about it. Now, you're chafing at that sovereignty. You wanted Him to do what you wanted Him to do, rather than letting God be God. But there is at least some admission of God's sovereignty. Well, that's a little bit of a different question when you're chafing at not being pleased with what God has done. So the anger at God that is sometimes expressed is an anger that really comes from a sinful attitude and a selfish attitude. Paulson again says it masks self-righteousness and blatant unbelief. And then, and quite frankly, does it help to vent at God? Well, no. The thing that helps is to repent and to humble yourself before the Lord. He goes on with a lie number three. The big problem is anger at myself, and I'm going to come back to that just because I don't have enough time. Develops that there's a lot of similarities here with anger at God. Then I'll say some similar things there, but I'd like to spend some more time on that. So as you go through this week, I want you to take note of those times when you recognize anger in yourself, and recognize that you are made in God's image, and that you're also one who has sinned and are a child of God who still sins, and learn to recognize some of the symptoms of your own anger, and learn the paths of repentance, because the anger of God, or anger of man, does not produce the righteousness of God. We'll stop there and we'll take up the subject again next week. Any questions or comments? I'll invite you to bow as we close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word that confronts us and teaches us how to live. I pray that you would help us to recognize the temptations in ourselves towards anger, and that you would be instructing us and causing us to grow in grace. Even this week, Lord, I pray that you would teach us humility, and that we would not give way to anger and let that control us. Instead, O Lord, help us to recognize our sin and, where necessary, to repent of it to you and to those we've offended. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.